The English at home, expressing their muscular Christianity, screamed for bloody revenge. Even the Times, swept along in the fury of the moment, demanded that every tree and gable end in the place should have its burden in the shape of a mutineer's carcass. Lord Palmerston announced that the Indian rebels had acted as demons sallying forth from the lowest depths of hell. At such a moment, the appearance of a criminal in the dock of the Old Bailey for a crime committed 2 years past was of very minor interest. But there were some reports on the inside pages of the dailies, and they are fascinating for what they reveal about Edward Pearce. He was brought before the bar for the first time on July the 29th. Handsome, charming, composed, elegant and roguish. He gave his testimony in an even, utterly calm tone of voice. But his statements were inflammatory enough. He referred to Mr. Fowler as a syphilitic fool, and Mr. Trent as an elderly nincompoop. These comments led the prosecutor to inquire of Pierce's views on Mr. Harrowby, the man who had apprehended him. "A puffed-up dandy with the brains of a schoolboy," Pierce announced, drawing a gasp from the court, for Mr. Harrowby was in the gallery as an observer. Mr. Harrowby was seen to colour deeply, and the veins stood out on his forehead. Even more astounding than Mr. Pierce's words was his general demeanour, for he carried himself extremely well and proudly, and gave no hint of contrition, nor any trace of moral remorse for his black deeds. Quite the opposite. He seemed to demonstrate an enthusiasm for his own cleverness as he recounted the various steps in the plan. "He appears," noted the Evening Standard, "to take a degree of delight in his actions which is wholly inexplicable." This delight extended to a detailed accounting of the foibles of other witnesses, who were themselves most reluctant to testify.